No, we
with his poor form now.
With his poor form, you think you went and matched your keeper?
It's your boy Shea Wolo. And you're listening to
Bald Gecko Podcast.
Welcome to the Bald Gecko Podcast. It's my Yive.
It's Naz.
And it's Ayola Kilichi. Hi, guys.
Why did he laugh?
I mean, freedom of laughter is in the constitution.
You get in the constitution.
Why are you laughing?
Why are you? Sorry,
she
don't be
act
angry.
So serious.
It's good.
Let's not dwell on the seriousness, but let's stop
doing that.
I'm sorry, but it's sweet there.
It's still sweet. How was your weekend, guys?
I mean, only Nigeria gave me joy.
Marwa.
Nigeria didn't even give me joy.
From winning 3-1,
they didn't play to the standard like Egypt. There were several times in that game, but it's normal when you're playing a small team. Sometimes you lower your standards, but not because it's Nigeria.
I think genuinely, Sudan played better than Egypt.
Yes. No, not just that.
No, true.
Nigeria played less than they played against Egypt.
Like you said, the quality of opposition, that urgency about they know they shouldn't give
like
Egypt
like
that
when
much
you're
limits.
Playing when you're playing a person that doesn't know how to play FIFA.
Yeah,
and you spoil your hand.
You just relax and try to score all these and just be trying things out. But if you are playing a professional
you'll be serious.
FIFA player, I mean, you sit up.
It shouldn't be like that, but that's how it is.
But that's just how
that's
it is, yeah.
I mean, from Nigeria, massive respect. It's not easy to score 3 goals and there's no penalty, no free kick from... And then the first shot was a goal. Respect. But from the 3rd minute, we're lost for like almost 10 minutes. And the last game they played...
Guinea-Bissau.
They were nowhere. They didn't even play well against Guinea. So against Nigeria, it's like they wanted to be the... underdogs.
They came out with the whole they will shock Nigerians and all of that. I mean, so they had to.
So I expected it was the same team. So I expected that same energy, like okay, because we started well. Then all of a sudden we're lost on us. It was annoying for me.
All right,
I expected more. I want us to keep as in
that and that, like that, Egypt, that Egypt energy.
Yes.
Okay, I mean, as much as we want that.
Good enough.
To be honest, the results is still what made us, you know. Smile at the end of the day.
Apart from the weekend games, we're also going to be talking about recent transfers and possible transfers in the transfer window that's still on. But before we go to the transfers, I remember last week, I think it was on Monday as well.
Yes.
On the Monday podcast.
Yes.
Naz, why are you so excited?
I know what you're about to say, so say it, please. Yes.
It was on the Monday podcast. I think I even put it up on Instagram.
Yes, you did.
You already said that.
Go on. I'm just here saying yes.
Yes, man.
Myra, calm down now.
Calm down.
Someone told us that Chelsea were going to be the ones to spoil Man City's
party. Yes, yes.
And that once they spoil Man City's party, that the title race will be back in swing.
Yes.
So I would like the person to come to the mic.
Before you say the person, name the person, then the person will come to the mic.
I mean, there are just 3 of us here. If it's not me and it's not you, let
the person come to the mic and defend yourself.
You said I said Chelsea will.
That's what you said.
We will replay.
That's literally what you said.
Replay.
You said we are the ones that are going to spoil their form.
Listen to last week's episode on Monday. Exactly. I mean, Ayola put it up yesterday. So you put it up immediately after the match.
Immediately after the Chelsea match. No.
Okay,
absolutely not.
And then
absolutely
what
not. So what do you feel about it now?
The league,
now
that is it still open?
Is the league still open?
I said if they beat us, it is no longer within reach.
So you feel?
So now, how do you feel now? Because I mean, that day. I was saying when they beat you and you were like, no, we will stop them. So how do you feel now?
Exactly.
I didn't say that.
Do you know how many times I've listened to that episode?
The best thing we can do now is actually move on to another, because we cannot deliberate on this for so long.
We could just play the tape again.
That definitely the league is lost, because that's like 24 points ahead of Man
U.
Man, you were not contending for the league. It was Chelsea. What's the point? And they're 13 points ahead of you guys now.
I'm getting shot, you know when you want to approach
a target, you have to go from behind.
Why?
What the hell?
Why?
Hold on. What kind of targeting is that?
See, every time you're planning a project, you plan for before, you plan for present, then you plan for future. So I went back a bit to like 7th place to look at it. Like 24 points,
so funny.
Varane and Cristiano Ronaldo. And then 13 points Chelsea.
We did not hear this excuse last week, but I mean...
But do you guys know that...
Man City showed that they are not here to joke.
When we told you...
I mean, this is not what we're saying last... That's what we're saying last week.
According to numbers, mathematically, Chelsea, anybody can overtake them, but...
Chelsea
we know
are not...
Man City is the shark team that I said, and you're saying who called them shark
Man City
team.
Were complete, bro. Chelsea have major injuries.
Exactly. You are always going to have something to say, my guy.
Because it's the truth.
Do you know something?
Guess what?
If you had your present players, the players you sold this summer, the players you sold 3 summers ago, my guy, Shingbang, you not see anything from that match. You show me die. Have Hazard, have Pick Lukaku.
Their 97 million pound striker did not win a single aerial duel out of 7 against Laporte and Stones.
I think they have 2 players in jail. Or is it just one? Is it just many guys in jail?
Sorry? It's just many guys
in
jail.
They even have players that, like, they are trying to disassociate 50 million Mendy. Out
so
of
much
the way.
Energy from a Man U fan.
No. I mean, see.
This is not about Man U.
Yes, exactly. Man U did not come here and
say,
yes.
You said something on the podcast.
Yes, and now you're trying to, you know,
to fruition.
Yes, because I'm not good.
You didn't know that last
week. So, respect to Manchester City, really. And then it shows the quality that they have. We don't know
about this quality. We've
beaten these guys before.
Congrats. Ballon d'Or beating them.
Lose that match. Okay, how did Chelsea lose the match?
They outplayed you.
Exactly, they outplayed Chelsea overall. You guys had just one chance.
They had 2 touches in their box, and Man City had 31 touches in Chelsea's box.
That's how we've beaten them three times.
That's not how you beat them.
How did you beat them in the Champions League? Did they have more touches?
Yeah, they will, but not to this extent.
This was them trying to play a small team.
You get it? It was a proper lashing.
Yeah,
like,
people played a small team and they still drew it.
Aston Villa is not a small team. Aston Villa has more Premier League titles than you.
Ah!
Sorry, Champions League. They have equal with them, I mean. Think about it. As of now, Chelsea are drawing championships.
In the last 5 years, you guys have nothing.
Mr. Shifting Post, you have come again.
You are worse.
Mr. 1905, your team history 20 years ago.
What would you rather
Mr.
be?
Mr. 1905.
A man that had money in the past or a man that has money now?
My guy, I have money in the past and I have money in the present and I'll still have money in the future.
Broke?
Yeah.
In which financial record have you ever seen Chelsea over Man U with your Russian billions? It's the truth.
If you guys
with
have
your Russian
much,
billions and 20 years of success
for climbing the EPL,
my guy, nobody go climb table. Now them go climb table for you guys. I'm in Lagos. I can't climb table. I can only support them.
If your squad had this much energy, you guys won't be.
Nah, lie. All of them are mad, but I mean, they'll be fine. See, you don't understand it. You cannot use money to solve because they are ready for the boss.
Talking of United and transfers. During the weekend or just before the weekend games, Hasso. He's one of his children. Ragnish said.
Martial didn't want to play.
We're talking Ragnish was saying the club hasn't supported him with any signings and he is desperate
for one. He said that.
Really? Yeah, he did.
Here's the issue I have now. Ragnar has always talked about having to move players out first before getting players because the squad is bloated.
Yeah.
Like too many players and they're low.
They're
low of unhappy players.
And instead of removing players from the squad, people are signing new deals and new contracts.
That team is always making very confused decisions. I mean, you listen to me on the 100% Red Devils podcast and you know that I didn't support a lot of things. I still don't support a lot of things. I mean, the Mata contract, the Lee Grant contract, a lot of things. It's just, it's question. See, as good as Lingard was, I was like, Lingard, you know, he's good, he's talented, but he's not going to see space in my team. I achieved what I achieved last season without Lingard, so there's no need coming back to come and say he wants 5. Second place.
Wow! Is that not what you're celebrating now?
Is that not what you're celebrating now?
He doesn't realize that sometimes his words will come back to haunt him.
He does, yes.
You are shouting now that second place is nothing.
You better calm down because
there's no problem about that.
Two of us are crying the same.
Five points,
bro.
Okay, I said, oh yeah, 25 points behind. You are closer to me than them. You don't
see
get.
See, don't say this.
Do you get? Do you get that you are closer to me than them?
Were you guys minus 13?
Yes.
Were you minus 13?
I don't. Yeah, exactly.
Were you minus 13?
I mean,
what's your own excuse? Were you minus 13?
He's absorbing. He's saying, oh, we are 13 points behind, but they are 25, so they have nothing to be ashamed of because they are shameless club.
No, not that. That's not even what I'm saying.
Both of you should be ashamed.
Yes, I mean, like if I'm crying, you two should be crying. It's not competition for who cries the most. No, there is no. We're not doing that. So are you happy? I'm not winning. No, I'm not happy. I'm not winning. So
then you are owing minus 25 million.
What was your question?
Do you agree that? Do you agree that with Ragnik that the club needs more reinforcements in the general transfer window? He said at least one player.
So here's the thing: the club has always been ignoring what has been the most pressing need, which is the midfield.
Mm.
I don't even know. I mean, not an attacking, maybe a DM or
McFred in the mud.
It's not the quality to compete with these guys. You understand? I mean, look. I keep saying it. I'm not competing with Young Boys. I'm not competing with Atalanta. I'm not competing with Villarreal. I'm competing with Man City, Chelsea, Liverpool. Those are people I want to see my team.
See the way my wife smiling and blushing.
Yes. Hold on. Exactly. Yes. Right now, that's very true.
You're not a decent club anymore.
Listen. I have the squad too, but I have too many holes. I have too many problems in that squad, and that's that midfield that they should have fixed. Yet they decided to spend 12 million on Ronaldo, which I still like. I'm not saying Ronaldo is not a good signing, but then if you're going to do that, go and spend more money on what you actually need. Not the one that you now leave that place open and you
be reach up that season,
and you're
will.
Crying and hoping that Ronaldo will paper that crack.
Yeah.
I mean, they keep making questionable decisions, and I'm a fan, but you just need to support them when I see those things. Like I'll support them as a club, but these decisions are not the ones that I'll back and say yes, the club are right for
this
doing
makes
it.
Sense.
Yes, exactly.
The problem with United is more than
not a Chelsea fan. Calm down. Why? How is he? Why?
Manager.
Do you want me to come and tell you your own problem in your Chelsea?
Let him finish now. Let him finish. Is it what?
It's a mental problem.
How? Like
Zlatan already.
What's seeing we?
They are living. Yeah, they might be suing, but they are living in the sky.
English, please. English, please.
You guys.
English, please.
The players are
English, please.
In the sky. You need to bring them back down. Like, you can see players that were performing, firing on all cylinders. You can see Rashford was on fire. But it's like there's something that happens to Man U that when you come in, you guys are messing up, but you still find an excuse for it. Like, I cannot imagine what will happen in Chelsea if we go for four years without a trophy.
I've always said
we'll shake it up. Marina will lose her job.
See, I've always said something about players coming moving to Manchester United. They feel like they've reached the pinnacle of football and they've reached the hierarchy. Like, they're in the kingdom of football. So I mean, you've reached the peak, and so you don't have to struggle. Anybody that touches on the pitch, you fall down, waving hands for fouls. My guys, stand up and play. They are paying you big money. Ronaldo is the highest player in the Premier League, but every 5 minutes they are doing, they've not blown foul for you.
No, Ronaldo has
who was the player that they actually kicked and kept on running? I'm like, no, like this ball, like if I don't go for this ball, it's lost and my team doesn't have the advantage. But my players will be there looking at ref, why have we not blown? And every other person in my wearing red, all of them are post and saying ref, why have we not blown? What the hell? Guys, they are paying you salary to play. Be proactive. No, this whole exactly. They actually they play with so much entitlement. I don't know how to say it, but they just believe that, you know what, everything should come easy for them.
Everything should go their way every time.
The reason why mine is where they were because those guys that were there played and worked their ass off for it. I mean, there were players that were getting suspended for finals, and you knew that they were going to get suspended, Roy Keane and Scholes.
Yeah.
But they played the games of their lives in those games. They were ready to give it all. Like, you know what? I know if I'm not going to get to the last point, I must do something that my team will move forward. It's not individual glory. But now Man is filled with too many players that want this individual glory. Like, I mean, Rashford will have 3-on-1 and decide, you know what, I want to dribble everybody and score. That one person that is in front of you, you've not finished dribbling. You end up dribbling himself. And every day I keep saying it, who the fuck gave this guy number 10 in my team? Why would they give this guy number 10?
I mean, he's one of the better players in United.
They still not number 10.
Wow.
He's kind of indispensable.
No, as at under Ole, he was always go-to man. So, I mean,
Rashford is, you guys don't know what you have.
I'm not saying Rashford is not good, but I mean, too many questionable decisions. I have a problem with what's in Rashford's head.
Sometimes going with supposed to pass, you take a shot.
All these players, they are in Man United and the first team, so they believe that they have reached.
Fernandes was brilliant over the weekend. It reminded me of the Fernandes that we used to see.
Could it be because there was no Ronaldo?
No, I don't. Well. That's a factor, but I don't think that's it.
He was able to play his role.
He was freer.
Yes,
he made playing him behind.
Not necessarily behind, just AM on the wing. More of the wing. So in that middle, he had more to do. Like, he had more to do that we expected from the regular Fernandes that we've seen and we've come to know in the Premier League.
All right, so Maive, would you at this point, because at the moment Haaland is still undecided about where he wants to go, would you switch Haaland for Lukaku? The way things are going.
Anybody in this life will swap whoever, will swap rather whoever they have for Haaland. Haaland is the hottest striker.
Haaland is a superhero, man.
Man. Yeah, even Madrid are ready to let Benzema go for him.
I really doubt they are, because according to reports, they're saying Madrid are not going to bid for both Haaland and Mbappe. It's going to be one of the two. And their sights are already set on Mbappe.
Yeah, you know, Benzema already said if Haaland is going to come in, he's going to leave. Like he will be able to play with
Mbappe.
But talking about Haaland, well, let me answer the question first. Definitely, Haaland is a beast. Definitely.
So this has nothing to do with Lukaku?
No, it has nothing to do
himself.
And then even Lukaku self, I feel if Haaland comes in, he will still have the same issues Lukaku has. Chelsea are not feeding Lukaku the ball enough. You can see several times.
You know,
but that's what Tuchel said.
Interestingly, there was a tweet I saw that said, why is Lukaku being taxed with literally just bringing the ball down for other players?
Exactly.
When he's known to be a centre forward, like someone who is supposed to be getting the goals.
If you watch how Lukaku plays for Chelsea, it's like his role is to make other people around him better.
Yes.
Because there are several opportunities where he pushes the ball out. And then you can take this shot. It's Lukaku. The boy is like egg in his leg. He's like, fire this ball. He's always looking for somebody to pass the ball to. It's very annoying. I don't know the instruction Tuchel is giving him, but I trust Tuchel is good enough to know whatever he's doing, and he has proven himself thus far. So I think it will not be right to question him. But obviously, Chelsea have not gotten the best out of Lukaku. Bringing Haaland in will not be the solution.
Do you think Chelsea is being divided between Lukaku and Tuchel now? Because I mean, two of them are...
There's no division, really.
I mean, there was Tuchel saying he did not want to mention individual names over the weekend, and he actually said Lukaku's name.
They are not mates. Where Lukaku is in Chelsea, players,
and which is why when Lukaku did his interview, he mentioned Tuchel's name too. So, bro.
Exactly. So Lukaku has already fucked up because he called out not only Tuchel,
and then also the handshake scored. Yesterday. Did you see it with De Bruyne?
Yeah, no, sorry,
I know they're friends, but
friends
I mean,
16 or something.
You've just lost.
No, it doesn't.
And he scored the winner actually. So
and he scored the winner. Yeah, I know it was against Man City.
And then it was 1-0. I don't think if they beat us like 5-0, we're gonna shake. Is it mad? We'll stone
him. We shake him. Nothing happened.
No, he won't do that.
Would they won't become any less friends. They'll still be friends. So why can't he shake him?
That would be insensitive. Imagine you're in a squad, then. I now see Naz after beating the president. Naz is now hugging me and carrying me up. Like, are you normal?
Guys, we'll die behind the cameras.
Yes,
because if the cameras don't get it, then it's not going to cause any commotion.
Talking about Mbappe, you heard that they said Mbappe, PSG will give him 2 years.
PSG, it's only normal that PSG would do anything they can to keep
hold on to
Mbappe. I heard Romano was talking about Mbappe, and then he said they'll give him 2 years. And not only that he has the option to leave in 2023, and that he's willing to stay because of talks like the Zinedine Zidane might come to PSG, because there are talks about Pochettino going to Manchester United.
Yeah.
And that he Mbappe
would obviously definitely want to play under Zidane.
So I think this football is just very unpredictable, different news every time. And then
I think it's just because there are a lot of moving parts.
Yeah. Because there's even Borussia Dortmund are considering replacement for Haaland already.
They have to, because they know
who's that?
Adeyemi.
Oh, Karim.
The German boy, please.
With the Nigerian father.
I mean, Alaba is German, he's Austrian, yeah. So he's not Nigerian as his name is.
He plays his under 16 for Germany. Sure.
Yeah, so I mean,
and the guy has been brilliant this season. I think
he's been really good again for Salzburg.
So I have just a very funny thing to say about this Adeyemi guy, because there is there's my brother saying something about eye test. It doesn't pass it so much because it's all just pace and just run.
That sounds like Mbappe.
Yeah, run, win penalties, run, score penalties, run. It's just all run, not necessarily like he's a dribbler or he. I don't
see the problem if you are using your run
pace. Yeah, using your pace effectively.
Because that's what was said about Mbappe at the start of his career, that he's all about the running. I remember Javi saying something about he doesn't have natural talent, he just has natural physique.
But right now Mbappe has the whole flicks and tricks and everything on the side. So I mean, he can beat several players at the same time.
Fair enough. So what team do you see Erling Haaland fitting into if he moves during the summer?
I don't even know, because if Real Madrid are not going to take him.
Barcelona don't have the money.
They do actually.
I'm
but
scared
carry on
of where it seems like he's going to.
If he goes to Man City,
it's Man City now.
Most likely, that's
Man City. I mean, Man City is one of the biggest teams that
gets splashed money. Yeah, and then they didn't buy anybody apart from Grealish, and you know Man City.
To be fair, do you know? I actually watched that game and I saw that at some point, if there was an actual proper number 9 there for Man City, more damage would have been done.
Chelsea's game plan would change. Now, what was the plan that they had? They had Phil Foden to run in and kind of
pull out.
Yeah, Thiago false Silva.
Nine.
Yeah.
So I'm saying Thiago a proper so nine smart. like Haaland that will actually bully the defender. He's big we'll enough. He's fast
Rudiger
enough.
On him. That's what will happen. Several people have tried to do it. Benzema has tried it. Suarez has tried it. If Chelsea
those aren't the same type of striker as Erling Haaland, though.
If Chelsea play like they can play, the ball will not get to his leg. That's what Chelsea will be planning to do. You know, if Haaland has the ball, definitely there's trouble. The thing they will do is to try and frustrate him. And you know, Haaland easily flares up. So they will try some mental.
I don't think
whatever.
So, no. Haaland.
Don't worry.
Haaland, I will
hope,
laugh at you.
I hope the opportunity.
Haaland literally smiles at you. Like, you know what? I will fuck you up, but he's going to be here and there's nothing you can do about
angry.
It.
I've seen times when he's
angry. Yeah, once in a while. I've only seen, it's not common.
I've only seen him once, and yes, even then he turned into a joke.
Yes, it's not common.
If there's the Lord of getting people angry, it's Rudiger.
He too gets angry.
Of course, but he's still very professional.
We'll see.
I'm not scared of Chelsea. I said Chelsea. I'm not scared of any team. If Chelsea play like they can play for our squad.
So are you scared if Man City gets Haaland?
Yes, I'm scared because they'll play.
Are you scared if Man City gets any? Funny enough, that's very funny.
I'm scared because they'll be untouchable.
Are you scared if they get any proper striker in any form?
No.
Slahovic, Harry Kane.
If they get Haaland, bro.
Hurricane.
I hope they will not come and do us a Bayern in Chelsea. They will be like Bayern in Germany.
They are already like Bayern.
They are to
Bayern
be worse with Haaland.
With anybody, I'm telling you, with anybody. They were going for Ronaldo at the like this summer. So that was the fear of Premier League.
But do you think they were saved something by not getting Ronaldo?
City were saved something by not getting Ronaldo.
Nah, they'll still have found a way around it. Guardiola always has a plan.
Ronaldo is fitting there. Ronaldo just scoring tappings and he'll be like top scorer by this time. To be fair.
He's going to be on like
16 league goals alone. That's minus the penalties that you give him again. So if Ronaldo in Guardiola's system. Guardiola.
Something else.
Yeah, so
Guardiola always has a plan. Funny enough, it might be substitute role or whatever.
For Ronaldo.
Guardiola.
Maybe not at the start of the season, anyways. But all right, talking about transfers that have come in this January, against United, we saw
Philippe Coutinho.
Yeah. Goal and assist.
14 minutes, that's nice. So cool, so cute.
14 minutes to make his mark in the Premier League.
Manchester.
Yes.
Okay. So now, here's something. People always say this thing that.
Hold on. I need to explain.
I don't know why you are eyeing Mariwa like that. Should I leave the studio for you guys? Because this tension is a lot.
How was that relevant in anything? But I mean,
this tension is a lot.
There was a goal that Coutinho scored that he tapped the ball in. There was somebody that slid, like, you know. Wow. He's a world-class defender, but...
Hold on. Was there not someone dragging KDB shirts when he was running?
There was.
One black small man like that.
Instead of marking KDB, it was Tony Semo.
Abiu.
Really?
But seriously, hold on.
Maybe you want to train shots that don't make sense. But two can play the game, don't worry.
No, that one was worse.
How was it worse? He was dragging air. There was De Bruyne that saw Kante there and he said, you know what, Kante, you're there, I will still go past you and then there's nothing you can do about it.
Okay.
And then I'll score on your head.
Waldy, on top of your head. I don't give two anything about it.
But this continue and De Bruyne.
Okay. So wait, hold on. Coutinho back in the Premier League. He really struggled in La Liga. I'm sure everybody remember him struggling in La Liga. But
he played well in the Bundesliga.
He played well in the Bundesliga. He played well in the Premier League.
So I don't think.
So do you think it's a thing of? Because a lot of times you hear people say, "Oh, this league is definitely better than that league." So that means when a top player should come to a smaller club or a small player should go to a top club,
he should play well.
He will play worse.
Football is you can. Football
there are
has
so many,
too many
factors.
Variables that, yes, you cannot easily say this. But he played well against Manchester.
So I'm still not going to concede that Coutinho doesn't play well in the Spanish La Liga because he turned out for Espanyol earlier in his career. And that was
he wasn't spectacular, but he
played well enough for his name to be out there. A small player, a very young player from Brazil, you know, making his name in Europe and all of that. who knew Coutinho? Like, Coutinho did not have this same caliber that he has right now.
Mm-hmm.
So give it. The league is not what did not work for him. I don't know. It is whatever happened in Barcelona. In Barcelona, we're going through. I don't. To be very fair, Barcelona had very funny transfer strategy because there's 100 million Coutinho, 100 million Dembele, 100 million Griezmann. All these players, like, you don't need all these players, but then they're just there. Plus the ones that are coming from La Masia and everything. And what is your plan? So somewhere along the line, it got mixed up with Coutinho. And
really, I think what happened with Coutinho at Barcelona, I keep saying, I think I've said this on another episode, is that the mentality was just different in that he has, like, for example, he scored against United now, goal and assist.
Yeah.
He might not score in the next game. He might not score in the game after. He might then score in the fourth game. But at Barcelona, you couldn't do that. You had to be like on point as much as possible.
Especially if you're one of the 100 million players.
Exactly. And that's not who he was. And Barcelona fans really did not understand that. So every mistake was met with like proper abuse and it affected him mentally.
Also, the profile he came in with from Liverpool, the amount as well. I mean, there's all that pressure, and then there's no hiding place for us.
The expectation.
Yeah, you don't think that they will spend that much money on you, and they don't expect you to deliver magic because he came as a magician.
Mm.
But so many very things magic. Can be said to explain his deep in form, but really, I think it's up to Coutinho himself. He knows why he didn't play well. Even in Bayern too, there were times when it was going on and off. In Liverpool, it was all fire.
So that's the funny thing about Bayern, because we all thought he played well in Bayern, but Bayern really didn't see enough. They didn't see enough of Coutinho to say make the
want to sign him.
Yes, and it baffled me. But then I'm like,
because
the Germans, they know why they're
making. Mertens.
No,
it's
them.
Name, Thomas Müller.
Yeah, Müller, Musiala. Those players of the same position that Williams ousted him. So I mean, it was very questionable, but then the Germans, they have whatever they look at to make their decisions.
But we can't judge him with just this much. And
exactly. I mean, to be fair, I think
it's against Man U of all
teams. I know, yes, against Man U. To some fair extent, as much as Coutinho does whatever he does, and I heard he didn't score any Premier League goal for Liverpool against Manchester United, but he actually has Man U's number.
But I think he scored in the Europa League.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, he scored home and away in Europa League. He scored
for Barcelona against United.
So he's been on the scorecard against United like a couple of times. So it's not new to him that he's registering something against United. But I think United's collapse on Saturday. No, I'm not going to lie. I hear me talk about, I didn't take it well. I'm not going to lie. I won't say my phone was dead. My phone was actually on silent. But I said, you know what? Nobody. Like, if you're not seeing me face to face, don't talk to me. And there was even my brother, an Arsenal fan, that said, oh, when he saw Coutinho's name, he was like, oh, he thought it was 2-1, that he could still laugh about it. And but then he saw 2-2, an Arsenal fan, said he could not even talk to me because he knew that,
he'd be boiling inside.
No, he himself was angry at it, that this doesn't make sense. We're leading 2-0, 6-7 minutes, see the game out. And funny enough, I mean, I saw this corner and I screamed.
All right, speaking about Arsenal, they had their game against Tottenham postponed. Because of, according to Tottenham, they said Arsenal have taken advantage of the COVID laws. Do you agree with them, or do you think that Arsenal were justified to ask for and even get the match postponed?
So, I mean, like, I just want to go with what my character said on this issue, because he made very good points. Everybody's bringing it out because it's Arsenal that's doing this.
No,
in the same,
against Liverpool too. Not
no, I mean, and who can get Liverpool?
A lot of people did. Liverpool
as much
was worse.
As much as Arsenal,
yeah, more.
Because more than Arsenal,
yes, Liverpool was much worse because they had 13 false positives, meaning that they basically had the extension for nothing.
Hold on now. So Liverpool ended up postponing more than one game.
Mm-hmm.
Arsenal just postponing just this very key game.
Yes.
And every game is Arsenal.
Liverpool games were key as well.
Yeah, I mean, the two semi-finals against Arsenal was postponed.
No, just one, just the first
no,
leg.
No, the first leg.
They already played the other
leg. Yeah, hold on, that's what I'm saying. So, like, the whole, that postponement pushed the whole fixture back.
Yeah.
Which is why I said the postponement, because, I mean, Chelsea and Tottenham have played both of their legs already
yeah.
before Liverpool played the first
the
one.
First
which is
one,
why I
yeah.
said they postponed the both of them.
Yeah.
So, with the league, with whatever league fixture they had to play in between, that also got postponed. So, I would get why Liverpool's own was, you know, as... But okay, so how I see this, the big names or the people that usually talk more about this, the Gary Nevilles, the Carragher's, yeah, they were heated and they I think they kind of rose pitchforks against Arsenal, saying it was Arsenal, all of that. But to be fair, everybody, like my character said, every team, they want to have their first team players, their best players available for all these kind of games, for the very key games that they know. I mean, Arsenal, Tottenham, two of them are both very, they are in similar positions on the table and they're trying to go for the same thing.
Yeah.
So you would not want to go into that game with under 18s. Yeah, under 18s and under 23s. You want to go with your best players that, and at that point in time, it's not just injuries. There's also AFCON for Arsenal. There's injuries, there's suspension. Suspension is not an excuse, but then Arsenal
didn't have the players.
Yes, the players were not available. So,
also, like Mike Richards said, the truth is that Arsenal are just postponing their evil dates, because for every match you postpone, that means there will be a time in the season. When
exactly.
You have to play.
Yes, I love it.
So
I mean,
the truth is that they should have still found a way.
No, exactly.
Since they decided not to, they'll still suffer.
I think they will prefer to.
To have a run of games,
yeah, with the first team than to have
since they're never in the Champions League.
Yeah, they don't have too many commitments, so they can actually spread out their first team players to play all these fit and all of that. Yeah.
All right, guys. So we'll be going to the AFCON segment of the Borgecko podcast, made brighter by MTN, and we're going to be talking about the last round of fixtures, the third round of fixtures, the teams that have qualified, what the teams need to qualify as well.
Hi, my name is Ilo Zinam, and you're listening to the Ball Gecko podcast.
Start with Cameroon. They play against Cape Verde. They've qualified already, but they haven't qualified at top of the group. That's why when you check the standings, you didn't see them as a team that has qualified. Anyways, they've qualified. They are most likely going to top the group, but who else you see going with them into the next round?
I think I already put out Cape Verde as one of the best third place teams to qualify. But Burkina Faso, there's something interesting about them. So I think they are going to definitely qualify out of this group.
Because they play against Ethiopia,
boys of the group. But then, it is the Nations Cup and we have already seen a few surprises with Sierra Leone.
We really have. Sierra Leone.
Algeria.
Cote d'Ivoire.
Yeah, exactly.
Well.
Ghana.
Ghana was a bit of a surprise because we expected that Gabon should lose to Ghana, or Ghana rather should lose to Gabon.
Which is why this Ethiopia Burkina Faso game is also a 50-50. Or no, I'll say 60-40 actually. 60 to Burkina
in
Faso.
In favor of
yes.
Burkina Faso.
Yeah, expect them, but it's still. So in the group, yeah, Cameroon should still come out tops. I think at least a point against Cape Verde. I'm not expecting Cape Verde to pull off something magical. But so yes,
Cameroon themselves might not want to use their first team squad.
Yeah.
Because they know that the tournament still has a long way to go.
So
they want to rest some players.
So a draw will leave Cape Verde on 4 points, and even if they finish third, they are definitely coming.
That
as,
should be good enough for one of the best players.
Yeah. So yeah, that's for
three teams will come out of this team. Because they already have 3 points compared to other teams that the third place, most of the third place won 1 point or 1 point.
Yeah, all right. So in Group B, there's Zimbabwe taking on Guinea. You know what's interesting? At the start of the tournament, I did say that Guinea would be pulling off some surprises
at the Cup
of Nations. And here they are, top of the group. And they're playing probably the easiest team that they're going to play in the group, Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe, I mean, they have a few European-based players, Tino Kadewere and formerly Knowledge Musona, who is in Qatar at the moment. But then
they haven't shown that they are.
I've known Zimbabwe for previous Nations Cup editions, and I've seen a lot about them. Like, to think that they're one of the I was actually expecting them to dominate and do much better than Malawi, but here they are with 0 points. So at this point, they can actually just take their tickets and start going back home. Yes, but they just have to fulfill that last game, man.
But then you look at Senegal and you say they should have been better than this. At the moment, the only goal they've scored is the 97th minute penalty.
Yeah, and they are not pulling their punches. They are not pulling their weight in the Nations Cup.
Are they just saving their strength for the next round?
I don't see. I mean,
if they are operating at this level and they've already qualified for the next round.
That's what I'm saying. If they are operating at this level with this quality of opposition and it still looks difficult like this, at least make
when
one
they
game
get looks, harder.
Yes,
but then again, you remember we started the podcast by talking about how if you're playing a weaker opposition, you might want to step your performance down a bit unconsciously.
That's it.
Yeah,
Senegal, they've always done what they are doing now. They've always not lived up to the expectation.
Wow. They got to the final in 2019.
Yes, here's one thing I have to say about Senegal, though. I think the COVID cases at the beginning of the tournament is actually affecting them.
Everybody had COVID cases.
You've not seen Kalidou Koulibaly for Senegal yet. You've not seen Edouard Mendy, not seen
Aubameyang for Gabon.
That's just one player.
Senegal had about three, four players. They have like key players. Even their coach, their actual first team coach, is also out with COVID. So all this I don't, how would I call it now? All this
Yeah, interruptions.
Yeah, in their preparation,
so
and everything.
The best is yet to come from them.
Yes, but at the same time, with what they have, and the quality of opposition they're playing, they should be giving better already. But I mean, that extra quality can do it for them.
And obviously, Ghanaian brothers. Just the other side of the border. That's why you are laughing.
I mean, there is the Maive's comments.
I didn't say that.
No.
Black stars for life.
There is the Maive's.
I didn't say that.
There is the Maive's comment before the podcast.
We can't say that. So what about Ghana?
Maive,
it's almost unbelievable that
yes,
Ghana at the moment only 1 point. Although we'll be fair to them and say they've played the toughest teams that they're going to play in the group stage, and they have just the Comoros to play.
I mean, with Comoros, they're definitely going to qualify as maybe the third best place team, or even overtake Gabon if Gabon gets whipped by Morocco.
You know, which Ghana is more likely than not.
Yes. Where Ghana is, it reminds me of Nigeria. Normally,
if this one scored, if this one win and this one, then me, I'll just score 1.5, and I mean. 0.5 goal difference, I'll win.
But this time, there's no such thing. Nigeria are the first confirmed group toppers in the Africa Cup of Nations.
Hooray. Hooray to everybody.
With four goals.
Hooray to the patriotic Maive.
They said since the Rashidi Yekini era, this is the first time Nigeria is scoring more than 2 goals in the second group stage match in AFCON.
I mean, like, that's nice. Bro.
It's beautiful. Like, we're back to 94.
But to be fair, you know, we still, even with the players we're missing, we still expect a lot more from this.
True. Like we said at the beginning of the podcast, the other one, I wasn't really impressed with what Nigeria did. I expected more from them because the energy we used to play Egypt, it's like they are feeling that sense of we are boss, and we don't need that. Not
at
now.
At the moment.
Yeah. So I'm scared. But I think from the third game, we'll be able to now balance it because
you don't think we're going to rest players for that game?
I think have
even
to
the
rest
players that will come in, Sami Ajayi, Obi will probably play a full match. Ahmed Musa will probably play full match.
The guy you like,
yeah, no, that guy is selfish. I really like him, but he was selfish
you like,
that time.
I mean, he's
and then
really
I'm hoping
pasty,
this
skills,
other guy, that tall dude,
Sadiq Umar.
He's still kept that same vibe, that's this accomplishment vibes. I want to see him start, and then so we can really go for him. Let's see, because you come in like 80 something, and then you are playing as if you have been playing since the first minute. There is a way.
Well, that could be the problem in the first place. A lot of players mentally, when they don't start, they struggle to catch up to the
really
game. Yeah, it's
a
true.
Professional footballer.
Yeah,
that's not an excuse.
Someone who is used to starting,
you
games more.
Whatever you get, you use it. Everybody has gone through that road. There's been a time when somebody
there's
from
one
the
more
bench.
Game in the group, which is Egypt and Sudan. What's your take on that? I mean, Egypt. Do you think Egypt will also go all out and try to get the points, because they only have 3 points? And both teams, if Guinea-Bissau and Sudan actually win their games against Nigeria and Egypt,
they would also have 3 points as well.
Egypt will have
3 points.
So Mosala is back. He played very well in the last match.
He scored the goal. He scored the winning.
Yes, he scored the winning.
As expected, as we would expect for someone like Mosala. I think against Sudan, I think it's just going to be more of the same.
True.
Because apart from them winning, Egypt were also better than they were against Nigeria. They were a bit more organized.
Yes.
They were not as lackadaisical, and it showed that in the way that they finally eventually got the winner. And go on.
Their manager actually came out and then he explained himself that it was the one who made a mistake, blah, blah, blah. Mm. Initially, he was saying it was the referee. So I think they've found out their mistakes and they've corrected it. And I'm thinking Egypt will go all out, even in the knockout stage.
Hold on. Do you think even with these mistakes that they found out, they can still beat Nigeria if we go and play them again?
No. We never can tell, man. But I think Nigeria should still be able to beat them because we have the advantage of we've done it before. Let's do it again. So I think they'll go all out. I think the final of this African Nations Cup will be Nigeria Egypt.
Very bold. Very interesting stuff. In Group E, there's Sierra Leone, Equatorial Guinea,
Hold on. Let's Sierra Leone, Equatorial Guinea first of all get to Ivory Coast.
Yeah, no. I mean, because when you look at the group and the way the group is set up, it's actually possible that Sierra Leone and Equatorial Guinea can qualify for the next round while one of Ivory Coast or
Algeria
gets knocked out. Most likely Algeria, because they have 1 point.
And that shock defeats Sierra Leone.
Exactly.
Oh.
And I mean,
and to make matters worse for Algeria,
they have now faced the biggest problem in the group, which is Ivory Coast.
And knowing that the biggest problem in the group still needs some point work done to qualify for the next round.
I mean, 1 point is not going to do for Algeria here, because I mean, Sierra Leone already has 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very tough place to be.
They have to win the match.
No, what do you mean? Sierra Leone has
2 points.
2 points.
Okay, yeah, sorry, 2 points.
Algeria has just one.
Algeria has 1 point.
Guinea with their victory against Algeria. It was Guinea that beat Algeria. Yes, it was Guinea that beat Algeria. Sorry, Sierra Leone with the last minute go against
this is the kind of match that before you go for the match, you already pack your bags. So
just in case.
it's kind of sad.
Neither Algeria nor Ivory Coast would be in this situation if not for that shocker of a howler.
Yes.
The goalkeeper.
In the 93rd minute. And a lot of people are saying, oh, it's his fault or it's the pitch's fault.
It's both of them's fault.
Shout out to Africa. It's the goalkeeper's fault.
Please, dear. I mean, you saw that pitch. I mean, the goalkeeper could have been smarter about it, but at the same time, you can't.
He was very unfortunate. Yes, he was playing on that surface.
It's not the first time goalkeepers are injuring themselves. Regardless of the pitch, it's the goalkeeper's fault.
You said how like I call that in a freak accident because it was weird. It didn't make sense. There was no logical reason why that happened. It was literally
a very odd tumble.
Yes, you'd have been like,
I've even thrown the ball out. I'm like,
I said, that's exactly. I said, like, imagine, just push ball for a corner. A corner kick is better than what you did, but kudos.
Oh, so who do you see? Do you think Algeria can do it? Do you think they can find a way to get past Ivory Coast?
Very difficult.
Maybe three of them can qualify for the next round.
Very difficult. Oh, okay. If that's going to happen, that's going to be Equatorial Guinea defeating Sierra Leone.
Yeah.
And that could happen.
Equatorial Guinea will just stop the group automatically.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, Ivory Coast.
That would be the surprise of the tournament.
And it's just that I mean, those two, Ivory Coast and Algeria will still be in the tournament. Those two powerhouses. Mm,
despite having played so poorly.
Yeah.
And in Group F, another surprise that I called, Gambia, top of Group F, ahead of Mali, ahead of Tunisia, definitely ahead of Mauritania. Tunisia, after the freak incident against Mali, also were able to beat Mauritania 4-0. And I think that puts them probably in the best position to qualify for the next round.
Yeah, with goal difference and all.
Very good goal difference. They play Gambia next, of course, in the final group game. And Gambia, they don't necessarily need to win per se.
They already have four points.
Which should be enough for at least a third best position.
But this group has been a group of 1-0, 1-0, except the odd 4-0.
Mm.
So I don't know if the Tunisia-Gambia game can probably end 1-0 again. Maybe to Tunisia, and Tunisia finishing with 6 points. That's Gambia with 4 points. That really leaves it. I mean, I think Mali is going to whitewash.
All right, so that means you're picking Gambia, Mali, Tunisia to qualify.
Yeah, Gambia, Mali, Tunisia. But Tunisia first, Mali second. If Mali's beating, okay, now that's going to be Mali first, Tunisia second, and Gambia third.
And Gambia third.
Yeah, so Gambia, I don't think they're going to hold on to that top spot to qualify out of this group.
So Mauritania is out.
No, they will be boys from the other. Even qualifying, they would have known that. I mean, it's a big feat for them. So
for them, qualifying was probably the whole journey. Yeah,
exactly.
Just
about
being
Gambia,
at the
it was
Cup of Nations.
No,
it was big for Gambia, but
not as big as for Mauritania.
And I think Gambia, in terms
this
of
Gambia's first time.
Yeah, but in terms of players, in terms of the quality of the squad, they are miles ahead of Mauritania, and they've already shown it in the tournament.
I mean, they are not there collecting four goals. reason them.
All right, guys, we've come to the end of the AFCON segment of the Ball Gecko podcast, made brighter by MTN. We'll catch it next time on the same segment.
Bye, guys.
All right, guys, we've come to the end of the Ball Gecko podcast. It's been awesome. I hope you had as much fun as we did recording this. If you'd like to reach us to let us know anything, or if you want to counter an opinion or support somebody, you can always reach out to us on any of the social media platforms. That's on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube, really. Just search for Ball Gecko. And on Instagram, it's The Ball Gecko Pod. Stay safe and see you next time.
That was Ball Gecko Podcast. For more content, please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube at Ball Gecko. Also, check out our website at www.ballgecko.com.